Hi, this is Keith Overholt, President and CEO of the Downtown Rescue Mission, coming to you today with another podcast of Stories of Hope. And today we have with us Robert. Not many people call him Robert, though. He goes by RJ. And tell us a little bit why they call you RJ.
Well, it started a long time ago. My real name is Robert. My middle name is John. And when I was living in Tennessee briefly, one day a friend of mine said, "Hey, RJ." And I looked around. I'm like, "Who's RJ?" And he said, "Hey, it's you." And I'm like, "Oh." Yeah. So I just took your first name and your middle name and put them together and said RJ's. And then it just took off from there. And slowly but surely, it started off with one person, then 10 people, then everybody just started calling me that. So plus, it's a lot easier to spell on paper. So yeah, it just grew. And
so anybody still you call you Robert, or just everybody call you RJ now?
No, mostly RJ. Sometimes yeah. Robert, when they really want to get my attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. But mostly RJ, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your early life. Where'd you grow up? And tell about your family a little bit.
Well, I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, about 45 minutes outside of Chicago. I have an older brother and an older sister. I never knew my dad. I was raised by my grandparents and my mom primarily. And I grew up there until about the age of 26 or 27. Then I moved to Southern Illinois, stayed with my grandparents for a while there, got married there, was married for about 2 years, got divorced due to circumstances that were pretty bad. And after that, then I moved to Alabama in 2013, stayed with my sister for a while there. And my issues there got just worse and worse while I was there. And I stayed there, got remarried again, and then I got divorced once again due to ongoing issues that I had at the time with substances and whatnot and just my behavior. And
so before we go there, well, tell us a little bit about your childhood. Tell us about growing up. You grew up in Chicago, so you must love good food, right?
Yeah.
You got good pizza up there.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
you had good brat, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you a Bears fan or?
Yeah, huge Bears fan, yeah. Huge Cubs fan.
Yeah. Feel bad for you, but. You
know. Yeah, I know. We're not a Bills fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I grew up playing sports, lots of baseball. Hmm. You know, this was back when we did not have internet, so drove our bikes around, played a lot of baseball down at the park. I was into football for a little while, played a little bit of football, loved playing sports, grew up pretty much, you know, an 80s kid watching cartoons on the weekends,
yeah,
riding our bikes.
Those were some good Bears years, though. I mean, 85, yeah. And, you know.
Oh, yeah,
maybe 85. One of the best defenses ever, right?
Yeah, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary, yeah. The Fridge, of course.
Yeah,
all those guys. I remember growing up, and when they won the Super Bowl, it was just there. Yeah. There were Bears merchandise everywhere. You could not go anywhere without.
I remember the
Bears
song. Even they had that song.
Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah, I mean that was. But you know, one of these days, my Buffalo Bills will get there to the Super Bowl. But you know, we've been to the Super Bowl a few times, but we just can never pull it out. But So tell us a little bit about growing up in your grandparents' home. You know, regular 80s kid riding your bike. Mm-hmm. We didn't have internet back then, right? So you're outside till dark or whatever, right?
Yeah. You know, I was that kid. That would ride my bike everywhere. We would ride our bikes with our friends and we would take bike trails off to nowhere.
Yeah.
And then when the sun came down, we would go back inside. And I was the kid, unfortunately, that would check in with my grandparents. I'd be like, "Hey, everybody, I'm home." And then I would eat dinner. And then I would go in my room and we would record songs off the radio because we didn't have any other way to do it. Record songs off the radio. On the weekends, I would come in, check in, and then I was unfortunately the kid that would sneak out the window, hop the fence, go hang out at my neighbor's house to, you know, sneak back in when my grandparents were asleep. And, you know, I was kind of a rebellious child growing up. You know, I knew what I was supposed to do, but I was like, I want to do what I wanted to do anyway. Yeah. So, unfortunately.
How'd you end up at your grandparents? Why were you there?
Well, my mom was living with her mom at the time, and I never knew my dad. Mm-hmm. So when I was born, we lived in California briefly. I was very young. I don't remember a lot of that. But when we moved to Illinois, My mom was living with her mom, and I was raised there with them for the majority of my growing up years until I eventually moved out.
Yeah.
So I was raised primarily, my mom worked a lot. I was raised primarily by my grandparents mm-hmm. to have lots of old-fashioned values, you might say. Mm-hmm. But I was still a rebellious child, you know, for some reason. That has always followed me in my life, is this prideful kind of rebellion towards my grandparents. Even though they were trying to raise me right, mm-hmm. I started off in school getting some pretty decent grades up until about my sophomore year. And I just got more rebellious and started dabbling in marijuana and going out and drinking.
What do you think? What was the rebellious spirit? What was about that? I mean, was it just somehow you were as a kid, or was there something that snapped with you that you're like, ah, I don't want to do this anymore?
I think it was pride. I just didn't want to listen. Hmm. It was just like I had a very huge kind of, I don't want to listen. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, I felt like I was more into myself than like, oh, I can get away with this or I can get away with that. And as I got older, you know, that kind of grew into more of a prideful thing with me, where I just felt like I didn't really need to listen to anybody.
Yeah.
And that
did you get along with your siblings? And
sometimes, yeah. Sometimes no, sometimes yes. It's you know, I was the younger one, so I think being the younger child sometimes. You feel kind of maybe jealous that maybe somebody got something that you should have deserved. Mm. And maybe, you know, sometimes you got favoritism towards them. And we argued a little bit, but we pretty much got along.
Yeah.
Not all the time, though.
Yeah. So you go through your high school years, you're playing sports a little bit, but you get into some little bit of drugs, marijuana mm-hmm. and stuff. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it started off, you know, we would go to practice. We would do practice. And then on the weekends, you know, we might have a game or something. And then after the game, we would get together somewhere and have a little bonfire. Started off with just having, you know, maybe a keg or a few beers here and there, then maybe smoke a couple joints. And then, you know, that's when my grades really started deteriorating, because I was focused on other things at that time.
Yeah.
And, by the time I got to my senior year in high school, my grades were horrible. I was getting – I went from being almost a B student to a D-minus student in just the course of 2 years because our focus was, well, you know, you could play sports, but then after sports, instead of going home, you know, I would go party with my friends.
Yeah.
And that was just like – that. I think that honestly was the beginning of a downward cycle. Because I thought that I had that under control.
Yeah.
But as I got into my adulthood years, it just got to where, instead of it being fun, it started to be something that I felt like I needed and that I had under control.
Yeah.
But I really did not. But, you know, when you are under those substances at the time, your thinking is skewed and you think you could just do whatever you want.
Yeah. Were you in high school? Did you graduate high school?
Yes, I graduated in 1989, which seems like a century ago to everybody. But yeah. I graduated, barely passed my finals. I remember it was my history final. I was horrible at history. I just didn't really pay attention. I was focused on a lot of things then, girls, what am I going to do after school?
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. Barely passed high school. Yeah, at that time, my grades got so worse that I could not play baseball anymore, because if you did not have good grades, you couldn't play. So my grades were really, really bad. Couldn't play sports anymore. I kind of gave up on that, and I was just headed in the wrong direction at that time. I was probably about 18 at that time. And even at that age, my drinking and my drug use was even starting to escalate, but I really didn't pay attention to that, because I thought I had it under control. I was like, I can just stop at any time.
Do you think that when your grades started getting bad, and you know, you love playing sports, and that was taken away kind of because you didn't have the good grades anymore, do you think that started some of the spiral of drinking and doing more drugs? And
definitely, because without,
I mean, you definitely had more time too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Without that time, I had a lot of free time, especially in the summertime when we didn't have school at all.
Yeah.
So in the summertime, it became pretty much the norm for me to just wake up, hang out with my friends, you know, start drinking at early hours. I'm talking 10:30 in the morning, 11 o'clock, smoking weed. And then the marijuana use, eventually as I got into my early 20s, it turned into cocaine abuse. Then I started working a construction job, and I was making pretty decent money. At that time, you know, I was taking home probably $700 a week. So at that time, now here I am going to bars. Now here I am, you know, I'm 21. Now I'm going to bars. Now I'm doing cocaine. Now my drinking is getting worse. Now my weed smoking is getting worse. You know, but here we are, you know, at that same time, I was just, I kind of had blinders on. I really wasn't paying attention to everything going on in my life. Had no prayer life at all. Didn't, at that time in my life, honestly, I wasn't even a believer. If you would have said God or told me anything about that, I would just been, I would just shut my ears and wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
And that was, as I got older now, I realized what a mistake that was. Yeah. No.
Yeah, but it was a path God took you on, though, right? Mm-hmm. So you're in your early 20s. It's in the early 90s, right? You know, and so what was there? There's a transition there that you went from kind of drinking and just smoking weed to a little bit harder drugs. What happened there?
Well, a lot of it was they always say there's an old saying, curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I just was like, well, I was drinking, smoking a lot of weed, and just like I really wasn't feeling the effects, you might say, of the marijuana after a while. I think I built up a lot of tolerance to that. So I was at a bar, was offered cocaine. I was like, okay, you know, I did it some. Then a week later, that next weekend, I did a little more and a little more, and then I would start buying some. And then next thing you know, I was doing some before work. I was doing some on my break from work. I was doing some after work. And now, you know, you have a compounded problem with alcohol. You're doing marijuana. You're doing cocaine. Then I had knee surgery. And then I started taking painkillers. So now you add that to the mix.
Why'd you have to have knee surgery? What happened?
I had a, what's it called? A knee debridement, where they just go in. And I had septic knee. That's a hard word to say sometimes.
Yeah, say that 10 times
faster. Yeah, I know. So I was on painkillers for that. They went in there and they drained it out and did a knee scope on it.
Yeah.
And
what year do you think that was? How old were you then?
Probably about 24-ish, 25 maybe.
And were you still in construction working then? Or
yeah, I was still working construction. And at that time, you know, like I said, making that decent money, had a not – no prayer life, not focused on God at all, and just worried about making money.
Yeah. And so what happened? You said you went in and you had the procedure and they put you on some pain meds. And did you go down a path of wanting more pain meds, or how'd that go?
Definitely. Definitely. The problem with that was, you know, I liked the feeling that the medication would give me.
Yeah.
And then I also combined that with alcohol and that just, it made the problem worse.
Yeah.
You know, and I really didn't realize I had an addiction. At that point, I kind of had, like, I knew that I was relying on all of this just to make it through my day, but I was trying to pass it off to everybody else that I was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, because I was very prideful. I did not want to admit that I had a problem. So, I was trying to just live my life on a daily basis, and behind the scenes, you know, I was broke all the time, having trouble paying my bills. Then I got arrested for possession of cocaine and had a felony charge. This was probably about a year or two into my drug problem when it got really, really bad.
And were you married in those early years? When did you get married to that first wife?
Probably when I was 23, I got married the first time. That marriage only lasted about 9 months due to my drug problem. You know, she left me. And that made me more angry. And so I started using more and drinking more. And instead and
she
of
left you for drugs, but then you said, "Hey, I might as well take more now that she's gone." Right,
right. Right. Instead of doing the opposite path, yeah. I was more angry, and I'm like, "Oh, it's all her fault for not sticking with me." And
a little bit of that rage against the machine kind of
attitude. Yeah, right? I was like, "Brr, yeah. It's all everybody." I was blaming everybody else for a situation that I created.
Yeah.
So it was like, but still, you know, at that time,
no children or anything.
No children.
Okay.
I think that was probably, in retrospect, probably a good thing at that time, mm-hmm. you know, but instead of blaming myself for the issues, I would blame everybody else. Mm-hmm. And then I would just keep on a very destructive path at that point in my life.
So you're in your mid-20s and you're now taking pain meds and you're doing cocaine sometimes and are you an alcoholic at that point?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew I was an alcoholic at that point.
Yeah.
Because I was drinking every single day. Every single day. I would get off work, go to the liquor store.
Yeah.
On my days off, drink all day, smoke weed all day, take pills, do cocaine. It just got to, but I was trying to hide it from everybody because I didn't want anybody to know. Hmm. And the people that did know were the people that should not have been in my circle in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, we were enabling each other, which it was just a vicious circle and really pretty bad time in my life. No church, like I said, no prayer life, non-believer.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
So you have all that going on. What happened? What's going on in your life? At some point, you're no longer in construction at that job in Chicago, right?
Yeah. At that point in my life, I moved to Southern Illinois because I thought I could clean up my act, you know. And I was staying with my grandfather at the time. My grandmother had passed away at this time due to Alzheimer's. Hmm. And my mom was still living in Northern Illinois. So, but she was really busy with other things, didn't make a lot of money. I was grown, once again, very prideful, didn't want to stay with my mom. Mm-hmm. I needed a change. I wanted to get out of Illinois because, for one, I was tired of the 40 below zero winters.
Yeah.
You know, and so I moved down to Southern Illinois, stayed with my grandpa for a while, got remarried, thought everything was fine. And then, slowly but surely, the same thing started creeping up in my life, with the alcohol use and the marijuana use and the cocaine use, and it just started all over again.
Yeah,
and it's just like you could run from your problem. I mean, there's an old saying, you know, you cannot run from your problems. You think you can. You think by moving to another location,
yeah,
or just leaving the area, that your problems are going to be over, but they're not. You know.
So. How'd you end up in Alabama? Tell us how you came down.
Okay. My mom developed Alzheimer's probably in about 2008, 2009. Hmm. And my sister at the time was living in Florence, Alabama. So I would...
How did she get down here? What was it about Alabama then?
My sister was married to... when she was in Illinois... There was a man that she met that was from Alabama. Hmm. So when they got married, they decided to relocate back down here to Alabama.
Okay.
So when my mom got sick, my sister invited my mom to come stay with her. And I would visit on occasion to come down here and visit my mom, like maybe a couple times a year, two or three times a year. Not as much as I liked. I should have visited her more. But I would come down here and visit. And as my mom progressively got worse and worse and worse, and then she became very, very bad towards the end of her life, and I decided, I'm like, you know, I was up in Illinois. I was depressed. I was addicted to, like I said, numerous substances at this time.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, you know, I think I'm just going to move down to Alabama to be closer to my mom. Mm. And that's what really brought me down here, was to be closer to my mom towards the end of her life. Mm.
So, how long after you moved down did your mom pass?
I was down here for probably the last year of her life.
Yeah.
And I would visit her on occasion. My grandmother also had the same disease. So, I saw how it affected my grandmother. And my mom, by that time, she couldn't really remember who I was. And it made me very depressed to see her.
Sure.
And I'm glad she's in a better place now. But at that time, you know, seeing her in that condition made me depressed, which guess what happened to me, you know, already having substance abuse issues.
That's what you turned to.
Yeah.
So was your grandfather still alive at this time?
My grandfather was still alive at this time, but he was not doing too good. He had open heart surgery. He was also going through chemotherapy.
Was he still in Illinois?
No, he was in Southern Illinois at this time.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he eventually passed away after I had moved to Alabama. Hmm. And I was unable to go to his funeral. Hmm. So that, to me, was, you know, just exasperated my problems. And I was just like, why is all this happening to me? Yeah. Why are all these things happening to me? I was in the woe is me phase of my life. Like, oh, my mom, my grandpa, my grandma.
Yeah.
You know, why is all this happening to me? Hmm. I'm addicted to drugs. I had to get high before I go to work. And it was just, I was kind of a mess mentally at that point in my life. After seeing everybody, you know, pass away.
Yeah.
You know, my friends dying. Yeah, I was like, is this how my life going to be? Hmm. You know?
So, and you said you got married a second time. Was that during this time or?
During this time, I had gotten remarried. That marriage.
A different girl, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That marriage lasted about 2 years. And she was also.
Was that in Alabama?
In Alabama.
Okay.
We, you know, the thing with that marriage, everything started off great, but we were enabling each other with our substance abuse. You know, she smoked weed. Mm-hmm. I smoked weed.
Yeah.
You know, it was not good. We got along great at first until she decided that she was going to clean up her life and became Christian and moved on with her life. And when she told me, she said, you either need to stop doing drugs or I'm going to leave. Mm. You know, of course, I was like, okay, I'm going to stop. But here I am once again doing things behind her back, getting high behind her back. You know, she decided to change her life and give her life to God. And I just was not having any part of that at that time. I was like, okay, well, I'm like, I'm going to stop. And, you know, but like I said, I was still doing things behind her back. And eventually she found out and left. And I was just like, well, once again, here we are having the pity party.
Yeah.